guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so tonight's in tonight's tour, we're going to finish up Malachas Choresh. Then we'll be off next week, and the week after, 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be up to Malachas Zareah. Last week, we developed the basic definition of Malachas Choresh, the productive quality in this Malacha. We had the Shita of Rashi, that was about Ripui Karka, about softening the ground. We had Shita of Rambam, Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, that was about Yipui Karka, about improving the ground. Now tonight, we're going to have two basic parts to tonight's shiur. In part one, we're going to refine and sharpen our definition of this Malacha. And then in part two, we're going to discuss different possible qualifications to Malachas Choresh. Okay. So we're gonna start with the Gemara on Ein Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara here brings up an issue which is going to serve as a springboard to sharpen what's going on here in Malachas Choresh. The Gemara points out a presentational difficulty with the Mishnah on Ein Gimel Amud Aleph. The first 11 Malachas in the Mishnah on Ein Gimel Amud Aleph, as Mr. Cohen pointed out 2 weeks ago, are presenting the Sidur de Pas, the process by which you make bread. If you want to make bread, so you're going to engage in these 11 activities in the Mishnah, and they're all in the proper sequence in the Mishnah, except for the first two. The Gemara points out that the first two Malachas in the Mishnah are out of order, because you know that you plow before you plant, yet the Mishnah lists the Malacha of Zoreah, planting, before the Malacha of Choresh, plowing. And so the Gemara raises the issue, why is the Mishnah out of order? So the Gemara answers, that Tana Beretz Yisrael Kai, that the Tana that authored our Mishnah, lived in Eretz Yisrael. And as the Bar Tanura and other Rishonim explain, they spell out, in Eretz Yisrael they had a different practice. They actually plowed two times. First they plowed a regular preliminary act of plowing before planting, just like anywhere else. But then after they planted, they plowed a second time. They did a Harisha Shnia, in order to cover the seeds, because the land was so hard, they needed a second act of plowing to cover the seeds. And so the Tana in our Mishnah presented the Malachos in the way that was common in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Gemara here on Ein Gimel Amud Beis. But if you look at Rashi and the Rambam, so they seem to have different understandings of what exactly the Gemara was getting at in this last point, and why exactly the Mishnah presented the Malachos in this manner of Zareah and then Choresh. So let's go through Rashi, and then we'll go through the Rambam. Starting with Shitas Rashi. So Rashi says that the Gemara actually meant to present a halakha chiddush, a novel insight, that we may have thought, Rashi explains, that the Harisha Shnia, the second plowing, is not included under Malachas Choresh. We may have thought that plowing the Malach of Harisha only applies to the first plowing before planting. But we may have thought that the Harisha Shnia, the second plowing, is not included under this Malach. So therefore, the Tana is actually teaching us a halakha chiddush that even the Harisha Shnia is included under Malachas Choresh. That's Rashi's take on our Gemara, that it's not just making or teaching us a random fact, it's actually making a halakha chiddush. Lesh Me'inan, Rashi says, that the Harisha Shnia is included under this Malacha.
The chiddush is that even though it was plowed once before, it's...
So we're going to get to that, but somehow Rashi feels that there's a chiddush, that we may have thought it's not included under this Malacha. That's, we're going to have to touch on that. However, if you move over to the Rambam, so the Achronim are medayik that the Rambam had a different take on our Gemara. Because if you look at the Rambam in Shabbos and Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, the Rambam there presents the Lamed Tes Malachos in the proper order. He first lists the Malach of Choresh, number one, and then number two is Zoreah. And nowhere in Mishnah Torah does the Rambam make any mention of the Harisha Shnia. Rambam totally omits our Gemara. He doesn't make any mention anywhere of this Chiddush that Malachas Choresh includes this second plowing after planting. And so the question is, why did the Rambam leave out our Gemara? So a number of Achronim explain, if you look at the Rosh Yosef, the Rosh Yosef was authored by the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim has a sefer on Shabbos called the Rosh Yosef. And on the Gemara in Daf Ayin Gimel, Prima Gadim explains that we need to conclude, why did the Rambam leave out our Gemara? Because he had a different take on our Gemara than Rashi. Rashi learned that the Gemara was teaching us a novel insight, a chiddush, a halakha chiddush, that the second plowing is included under this malacha. The Rambam's going to understand that the Gemara wasn't teaching us a halakha chiddush. Of course this second plowing is included under this malacha. Why not? You're plowing. Who cares when you plow? Plow before you plant, you plow after you plant, you're plowing. Of course it's included in this malacha. The Gemara is just making a historical point. Historically speaking, in Eretz Yisrael, in that society, they plowed after planting also. So the Tana decided to present the malachos in that manner. Not that there's any novelty to this halacha, so the Rambam totally omitted it from the Mishnah Torah. So we're coming out with the basic machlokas. We're showing him now an interesting machlokas, how to read our Gemara. When the Gemara presented this halacha about the why exactly the malachos were presented, we did malach of Zareh before Choresh, because the Tana lived in Eretz Yisrael. What was the Mishnah getting at exactly? According to Rashi, it's teaching us halacha chiddush that the Chorish Shnei is included under this Malach of Chorish. According to Rambam, it's just a historical point, but there's no chiddush involved. And we have an interesting focus now as to if indeed we should consider this Chorish Shnei to be a novelty. Rashi considers that it is a novel halacha. Rambam considers that it's not a novel halacha. The question is, what's the hesber in this machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of Rashi that this is a chiddush? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of the Rambam that's not a chiddush? Yeah.
Being Medayev, that, because you mentioned 2 points. One was that he doesn't follow the word of the Mishnah when in the Rambam first, mm-hmm. he first plants Harisha, then he plants Surya, mm-hmm. right? Because that point, I don't get so much why that's so much of a deal. Because at the end of the day, meaning it is the Rambam just wants to present it in a logical sequence.
It's true.
So therefore,
it's just. You're absolutely right. It's just complimentary. We're just emphasizing that there's no trace of our sugi in the Rambam whatsoever at all.
But the Rambam just holds your side for Harisha, so you already incorporated.
That's what the Rosh Hashanah is essentially saying. It's pasha.
No,
once
it's
I know.
Why is that a machlokes? Meaning the Rashi. Meaning
Rashi
the Rambam,
says
the Rambam's not explaining the Gemara. The Rambam, I mean, he is, but he's not doing it directly. So the Rambam incorporates that.
If the Rambam held like Rashi, that form feel he should have brought it. Then it's a chiddush. He should have taught us it. He should have mentioned it somewhere. Rashi is a Lashmina, and we would have thought otherwise. But, okay, yeah.
Why would, according to Rosh Yosef, why would the Tana only talk about the second Harisha? Because even in Eretz Yisrael, the Harisha before is...
Interesting point, yeah, in the Chanami. I don't know, not sure. I think he might address that, I don't remember what he said. Okay, so the Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss, and Shabbos, he has a, in Siman Nun Tes, he has a beautiful Hezber of this machlokas. This is gonna really get into the crux of what Malachas Harisha is all about. Last week we did a cursory analysis of Malachas Harish, but now we're gonna get into the real guts of this malacha. What is Malachas Harish all about? So he poses a very fundamental fakir. So the fakir is like this. What's the underlying productive quality in Malachas Harish? The first approach we can take is to say like this. We look at the Av of Harish. The Av of Malachas Chorish is the act of plowing. The prototypical act of Malachas Chorish is plowing. Why do you plow? You plow to ready the land for planting. So one could understand that that's going to characterize Malachas Chorish. That's going to be the essence of this Malach. The essence of Malachas Chorish is any activity that's a Hechsher Lazaria, that facilitates planting. Just as the prototypical act of plowing facilitates, helps prepare the land for planting. Maybe that characterizes malacha. Malachas Chorish at its core is any activity outside that, or any activity that can help facilitate Zuriyah. That's one approach that can be taken. The second approach that can be taken is to say, maybe that's not the case. It is true that the act of plowing is helping ready the field for planting, but maybe that doesn't characterize this malacha. Maybe that's not going to limit the definition of Chorish. Maybe Chorish is any activity that's a tikkun hasada, any act that improves, that fixes, that remedies the field in any way whatsoever, is going to be a form of this malacha. Now, certainly, in the second approach, if you just say it's any tikkun hasada, certainly if you help make the land more fit for planting, that certainly is a very good way of improving your land, so that would be included in this malacha, but that's not the definition of this malacha according to our second approach. According to our second approach, the definition of malacha is tikkun hasada, improving, fixing, working the field. So we're proposing a fundamental chakira. What's the essence of malachas chorish? Is it an idea of Hekshel Lizria, preparing, facilitating planting, helping ready the land for planting? Or is it just a tikkun hasada, working the field, any act of working the field, nothing to do with planting per se? Planting's an example of tikkun hasada, but that's not the definition of the malach, it's tikkun hasada. Now before we continue further, we should point out now that this chakira is really built off of and connected to our chakira from last week. So let's just quickly bottom line the chakira from last week and show how it develops into tonight's chakira. Last week we posed the Shiloh, we had a Machlokas Rishonim, Rashi versus the Rambam, the Rach. What's the basic quality of Malachas Chorish? What's the basic act that we're doing in Chorish? Rashi said it was an idea of Ripoy Karka, it's an idea of softening the ground. And the Rambam and the Rach said it's an idea of Yipoy Karka, of improving the ground. So now let's go through those two Shitos one at a time and show how it really develops and blossoms into tonight's Chakira. Starting with the Shita of Rashi from last week, we said, what was Malachas Chorish about? Ripoy Karka, softening the ground. Now, what is so beneficial and productive about softening the ground? Having a soft ground is not intrinsically significant. guess if a guy has bad knees and he's walking on the ground, it could be good for his knees, but there's no real intrinsic significance to having a soft ground. The answer is that softening the ground is good because it's a hechsher l'zriah. It helps facilitate planting. You want to have a soft ground to plant properly. So if we go with the first, the Shita of Rashi from last week, it's very much reasonable and pretty mistaber to say that the real essence of Melechus Choresh is a ripoy karka, softening the ground, because that facilitates planting. And the truth of the matter is, the Rav Asher Weiss points out, that if you look at Rashi and on Gimel and Beis, there are two Rashis, I put it on the Tosefos Iyun section, the Mar Makomos, where Rashi two times in assessing whether different acts should fit under Melechus Choresh, emphasizes whether it's Chazia Lazria, is it fit for planting or not. Because Rashi is going with this first approach. Rashi is totally Lishitaso. Rashi holds the essence of Melechus Choresh is ripui karka, softening the ground, as a hechsher l'zriah, to ultimately make it more fit for planting. Moving over to the sheet of the Rambam from last week. So the Rambam sheet of last week was that what was Melechus Choresh about? Yipui karka, about improving the ground. Now, working with the sheet of the Rambam, we say that's the basic quality of Melechus Choresh. So it's very reasonable to say, you know, may not have to say it, but it's very reasonable to say, once we're just talking about improving the ground, then any activity of tikkun hasad, that would be the real essence of the malacha. It's not connected to zriya per se. It's not about facilitating planting. It's about tikkun hasad, improving the ground. And Rav Asher Weiss points out that this fits in beautifully with the lashonos of the Rambam. If you look at the two key Rambams in his presentation of Melechus Choresh, both in Zayin Beis, in Hilchos Shabbos Zayin Beis, and Ches Aleph, those are the two places where he presents to us the basic definition of the Av of Choresh and Told of Choresh. The Rambam makes no mention anywhere of planting per se. You know, he does not put planting into the definition of Choresh. The Av, he just talks about digging. The Told, he talks about Yibo and improvement. He doesn't mention planting anywhere. So that fits in beautifully with this definition we're coming out with in the Shita of Rambam. The Rambam Shita is that Melechus Choresh is about Yipui Karka, about Tikkun Hasad, improving the land. It's not focused on Zriya at all. So we're coming out with the fundamental Chakira here, the real essence of Melechus Choresh. What types of activities are included in this Melacha? Shita's Rashi is that it's about Yipui Karka, softening the ground as a Hekshel Zriya to help facilitate planting. Rambam Shita is that it's an idea of Yipui Karka, Tikkun Hasad, improving the land. Any act that improves the land, nothing to do with planting per se, is the Melacha according to the Rambam. So now let's just finish it off already. So based on this Chakir, we're now going to come back to our issue in our Gemara. Our Gemara, we had an interesting Machlokas Rashi versus the Rambam. Rashi held that our Gemara was teaching us a Chiddush, that the second act of plowing is included under Melechus Choresh. Rambam felt that there was no novelty, at least the way the Rashi also learned the Rambam. The Rambam felt that there's no novelty in our Gemara, so they just totally left it out of Mishnah Torah. The question is, what's the Hesber in this Machlokas? Does anyone help finish us off? How is our Chakira going to help explain Rashi and the Rambam in this situation?
The Rambam is understanding it's clearly a more expansive, abstract version of the Rishon. It's
right.
Applicable to
Rashi. According to Rashi.
According to Rashi, it's clearly more limited in its scope and it's only focused on Zriya. So if Rashi, I'd like to be a Kiddush for Rashi for the second Zriya, Zen Karisha, because we might not think that it's relevant.
Right. Right. So let me plug it in, and then we'll fight it out. So just to speak out what Daniela just said, as Rav Asher Weiss points out, so let's plug in the Chakir. If you go with Shita's Rashi, Rashi holds that the real essence of Melechus Choresh is being a hechsher l'zriah, to facilitate planting. Any act outside that helps facilitate planting fits under Melechus Choresh. Working with that approach, there is room to understand our Gemara as teaching us a novelty. You could understand, once we talk about Choresh as being focused on Zoraya, so maybe it has to be a prelude to Zriya. Maybe it has to be a Hachana Zriya, preparation. Just like the typical act of plowing is done before planting, maybe that characterizes the Melacha. If we're focused on planting, maybe it has to be a preparation for planting. Maybe the Harisha Shni, although it is helping plant, it's too late. It's after the planting. It's not Hachana Lizriya. So there's room for a Chiddush in our Gemara that's not the case. Don't think that Choresh is Dafka a prelude to the planting process. Any activity that aids and abets planting is included in this Melacha, even if it's a post-planting activity. So that's how Rashi, Lashitasa Rashi, in holding that Melechus Choresh is focused on planting, learned our Gemara is teaching us a novelty, it's teaching us a Chiddush, and the extent of this relationship that even a Harisha post-planting still fits under this Melacha. On the other hand, moving over now to the Shitas HaRambam, Rambam held that Melechus Choresh is not about planting, it's about fixing up the land. So then any activity of Tikkun Hasad that fits under this Melacha, there's no reason in the world why the Harisha Shnia would not fit under Melechus Choresh. Lamaisa, you're plowing the ground, you're helping out your earth, why would that not be included in this Melacha? So the Rambam Lashitaso felt that our Gemara was not teaching us any novelty, the Gemara was teaching us It was really just stating an historical fact. And the Rambam left this whole halacha out of Mishneh Torah. Once you know that the Charish Rishona, once you know plowing in Tikkun HaSad is included in this halacha, obviously plowing a second time is included in this halacha. And so that's why the Rambam left it out of Mishneh Torah. So that concludes part one of tonight's shir. We finished sharpening the essence of Meleches Choresh. According to Rashi, it's a Ripoy Karka, it's Hechshel Zriya. According to the Rambam, it's Tikkun HaSad, it's fixing up the land. And we have our application here in terms of the Charisha Shania.
How would the Rambam explain the connection to Meleches Mishkan?
In the Mishkan, they plowed. Plowing, in a vacuum, is done for planting. But in a greater, you know, from a greater light, is enhancing the work in the field. It's we're working the field.
It's acknowledging that it was meant for planting when it was done there, but...
In general, we're going to see throughout the year that we don't always get caught up by the specific details of how they did things in the Mishkan. We take things, you know, to a certain extent, but we sometimes make variations. The question is how, you know, they might have used a certain plow also. Are we going to say that's only Meleches Choresh? They may have wore blue shirts when they plowed. I don't really know. You know, obviously, some things were considered extraneous. The Rambam felt that the planting part is extraneous. We don't get stuck, you know, caught up by that. It's enhancing the field. All right, yeah. Hey, Taina? No?
Just about this. Two things quickly. Number one, why do you have to say that Rambam is just saying it's a historical fact? Why can't you just say a little bit differently, even as opposed to say that the Rambam took the second, you know, the Rambam took this chiddush.
The Maskanas Gemara.
The Maskanas Gemara.
Right.
And saying that shows you definition is
right.
Not that it's
right.
Telling you,
so you could do
that. How he knew it, and therefore he defined it.
You could do that, but A, once again, if it is a chiddush, then we want the Rambam to teach us that chiddush.
But he doesn't have to say it because he defines it in by saying
okay.
Yipui. You don't have to tell me that something.
Okay,
fine.
You're making a reasonable point, but at least I'm saying what the Rosh Yosef said over.
Okay.
Fair enough.
And then also, if you say like this approach, it's Yipui, then when it says.
Which one, Yipoy?
What you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
How do you understand that? Because if they're meaning they're all different parts of.
So this is last week's shiur, we spoke about the Av and the Rambam and the Tolas. The Av is not about the productive quality. We're talking about the productive quality tonight.
Okay.
So Yipoy, Ripoy. But last week was the Av itself was about the act itself. Doctor.
Can we say that the Rambam is trying to separate Choresh from Zoreya because it's its own separate entity? Making it a Hefsher, meaning...
Are you saying in a different way or elaborating? Meaning, we're kind of saying that. We're saying it's independent, malacha.
No, but then, Rashi's making it a malacha that's kind of dependent on another malacha.
Right, yes. Yes.
So then does Rashi view all malachos that...
We're going to have to take them one at a time. That chakir is going to come up in different ways throughout the year. That's true. Yeah.
Just a real question. From last week, you discussed the potential case of Harisha that had to do with like pulling weeds. And then where is there a description? I don't remember if it was Ripoy or anything.
Mars was Ripoy.
So isn't that a problem? That's not
we discussed that last week, yeah. That is a problem.
But we said that
around the Zaria? It is. There's weeds around the different plants.
The okay.
It's helping the planting, yeah.
Okay. Helping on at the plant?
Helping the plants that grow. Helping the surrounding plants grow. Okay, fine. So moving over now to part two of tonight's shiur, we're going to discuss three possible qualifications to Meleches Choresh. This is where the real halacha ma'isa comes out of this malacha. The first possible qualification is going to be the longest, and the next two will go quickly. The first qualification that comes up to this malacha is in Daf Lamites Amud Aleph. So we're going to move back now to Perek Kira, the sugi there in Daf Lamites, and we'll spend a few minutes there analyzing this, the first qualification. The Mishnah, the second Mishnah on Lamches Amud Beis, brings up a case where a person decides that he wants to bury an egg into hot sand outside. You have a sand that's baking in the sun, and you decide you want to heat up your egg. Sounds very delicious. So you decide to bury it into the sand outside. And the question is that Mutar and Shabbos? Is that Asar and Shabbos? So Mishnah says that it's Asar. Lo yatmin, you can't insulate, you can't bury this egg in the sand. And the question is, why is it Asar? So the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara, Lam Tesim and Aleph, discuss different issues with this situation, but we're going to focus on the Shita of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef in the Gemara on Amtes Manal says that the issue with taking an egg and burying it into the sand has to do with Malacha of Choresh. The issue is, we know that you can't dig a hole on Shabbos. If you dig a hole, you will violate our Malacha. And when you're busy burying this egg into the sand, as Rashi explains, we're concerned you might come across a piece of earth, sand, something that's attached to the earth. You may detach it in order to create a hole to put your egg into, and that'll be Malachas Choresh. You can't make a hole on Shabbos. So therefore, we prohibited burying this egg into the sand out of concern that you'll violate Malachas Choresh. But then the Gemara throws in one more critical point, and that's what we need for our shir tonight, and that is the Gemara says there's an exception to the rule. According to Rav Yosef, who held that this whole halacha is revolving around Malachas Choresh, there's a time that we're going to let you bury your egg into the sand. And that is if you have Ofer Tichuach. If you have loose sand, loose dirt, we're going to let you bury the egg into this loose sand. Why? Because apparently, that's not going to be a violation of Malachas Choresh. When you dig into loose sand, apparently that's not going to be a violation of Malachas Choresh. It's only us you have to dig into compacted, hard earth. But if you dig into loose sand, loose dirt, that's not Malachas Choresh. And since this whole act is only osur because of Malachas Choresh, we're not going to osur it in that situation. So we seem to have our first qualification to Malachas Choresh, that it's not osur to dig into loose sand on Shabbos. It's permissible to dig into loose dirt, loose sand on Shabbos. However, before we finish this first qualification, Tosfos points out that there's an apparent stira in Gemaras. There's a Gemara in Beitza on Chesed and Alf that has opposite implications, and we have to resolve this stira in order to figure out what's going on with this qualification. So moving over to the sugya in Beitza now for a few moments, just to set up the stira, the sugya there is discussing as follows. The Mishnah in Beitza, the first Mishnah in Beitza, and the Gemara in Beitza and Zayin and Beis to Chesed and Alf is discussing the mitzvah of kisay hadam. We know that there's a mitzvah when you shech certain animals, certain wild animals or birds, you have to cover the blood. And the issue that comes up in the sugya there is, how do you perform this mitzvah on yontif? Assuming that you shech on yontif, so how are you performing the mitzvah of kisay hadam? Oh, that's the last stage in the entire Gemara. Excellent. But we're gonna, yeah, okay, we're actually, that's the one step I'm gonna ignore. No, it's good. No. So the Gemara in Beitz on Zanum and Beis, in dealing with a number of complicated issues, sets up the case like this. It says, if you want to do Kisei Adam on Yontif, you have to have a spade that is dug into the ground before Yontif, that's dug into Ofer Tichuach in soft, loose dirt. If you have this spade that was set up beforehand, before Yontif, in loose dirt, then on Yontif, we'll let you dig it out and perform the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. That's what the Gemara says. It's for a number of complicated cheshbonos. That's the case of how you're going to do Kisei Adam on Yontif. Then the Gemara asks the critical question we need for our sugya. The Gemara says, well, wait a second. How are you digging out this spade on Yontif? There's an issue of Hofer Guma. You can't dig a hole on Shabbos on Yontif. So how are you digging the spade out on Yontif? That's usher to do. So the Gemara gives an answer to this question, which is actually what Barak just said, but we're not focused on the Gemara's answer, we're focused on the Gemara's question. Tosfos points out, the Gemara here in this question is asking that when you dig into loose dirt on Shabbos and Yontif, that should be usher. But that's a direct contradiction to our Gemara in Shabbos. We had this Gemara in Shabbos that was telling us how to prepare our egg for Shabbos and said that if you have loose dirt, there's no problem of digging into loose dirt. But now, this Gemara in Beitza is saying that there is a problem to dig into loose dirt. So the question is, how do we resolve the contradiction in Gemaras? So there are two basic approaches in the Rishonim for how to deal with this steering Gemaras. The first approach is the Shita of Tosis and Gemara in Beitza and Dafchas. And the second approach is the approach of Rashi and that Gemara in Beitza and Dafchas. So let's start with the Shita of Tosfos. Tosfos says that, and this is all going to be Nogea L'Halach ultimately, so we'll see. Tosfos says that the resolution to the Stira is going to depend on the exact circumstances. We could have two basic cases where you dig into soft sand. One case you could have is where the whole expanse is all soft, such that as soon as you dig into the sand, any resultant cavity immediately collapses. If the whole area is all soft, so as soon as you dig into the sand, any cavity that you create collapses immediately. If that's the case, Tosfos says, that's going to be perfectly permissible on Shabbos, because you didn't dig anything, you didn't create any hole. It's true for a split second, you did the act of digging, but there's no resultant hole that came about. That's perfectly permissible on Shabbos. And that's the case in the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Tes. When the Gemara there said you could dig into loose dirt on Shabbos, that's talking about a case where as soon as the whole expanse is all soft, as soon as you dig into the land, any hole that comes about immediately collapses right away. But then you could have a case, as Tosfos, where you're digging into soft sand, there's a pocket of soft sand, and you dig it out, but the surrounding area, the perimeter, is harder earth. So the cavity remains in place. You dig it out, but the cavity remains in place. That's going to be usher to do on Shabbos and Yontif. And that'll be the case in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza said that you can't dig out this spade, even though it's in loose dirt, you can't dig it out on Yontif. That's something about a case where the cavity would remain in place, and that's going to be usher. So that is Tosfos' resolution to the stira. What is it mutter or usher to dig into loose dirt? It depends on the exact situation. If the cavity is going to fall in, cave in right away, it'll be mutter. If, on the other hand, the cavity is not going to cave in right away, it's going to be usher. However, the Sefer, again, yeah, okay. The Sefer told us Yaakov on Beitza points out the Rashi there in Beitza seems to have a different resolution to the stira. Because the whole stira is supposed to be that the Gemara in Beitza implies that you can't dig into loose dirt. The Gemara there had asked, how can you dig into loose dirt? It's usher on Yontif and Shabbos. But the Toldos Yaakov points out that Rashi there throws in a critical line that undercuts the whole stira. Rashi there says that the Gemara was actually asking in Beitza about the malacha of Bona. It was not asking about the malacha of Chorish, it was asking about the malacha of Bona. There's also a malacha out there that we'll get to one day, which is the Isser to build on Shabbos, the Bona. And the Isser of Bona, the malacha of Bona, also includes digging sometimes. Our Gemara in Shabbos on Ayin Gimel tells us that sometimes if you dig, that could be a violation of malacha's Bona. Let's say you're indoors and you have a dirt floor and you dig a hole in the ground. And let's say it's productive. You're creating a beneficial hole in your ground for whatever reason in your floor. That will be a violation of Malachas Bona. And Rashi in Beitza actually explains that the Gemara there was not asking for Malachas Chorish. The Gemara was asking for Malachas Bona. The Gemara was asking, apparently Rashi understood the case was maybe it was indoors, and you're digging a hole that would be beneficial to a house. And the Gemara was asking, in that case, even though you may have dug into loose dirt, Lamaisi, you produced the hole that's beneficial, that's a type of binyan, that should be Aser on Yontif. And so the Toldos Yaakov points out, based on Shitas Rashi, we have a different resolution to our stira. Rashi is going to hold that the Gemara on Shabbos is authoritative, that it's always mutter to dig into loose dirt on Shabbos. There are no qualifications, even if the cavity will remain intact. Rashi is going to learn the Gemara to Pshuto. There's no different types of scenarios. It's always permissible to dig into loose dirt on Shabbos. The Gemara in Beitza is not a stira. That Gemara is not talking about Melechus Chorish. It's talking about Melechus Bona. So that concludes the facts here to qualification number one. Our first qualification to Melechus Chorish is that it's mutter to dig into Ofer Tichuch, into loose dirt. We have Machlokes Rishonim concerning how far this heter goes. According to Tosfos, it's only mutter if the cavity, the hole, is going to cave in immediately. According to Rashi, it's mutter no matter the fact. But we're not going to leave this Machlokes at the realm of fact. We're going to still try to analyze this conceptually. The question is, what's the Hesber in this machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for Shitas Tosfos? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of Rashi? Anyone want to give it a try? Sounds technical.
What has to do with Chorisha? Is it only if it's maintained? I mean, or
let me rephrase. We're having a machlokas about if you dig into soft dirt and the cavity remains. If the cavity implodes, everyone agrees that that's mutter. The question is, if the cavity remains, Tosfos holds that it's aser. Rashi holds that it's mutter. The question, what's the Hesber in that machlokas? Should it be a violation of Chorish? Should not be a violation of Chorish?
If it's loose, the dirt's not Mekayim, so it should be Malacha.
You mean the hole is intact?
Right.
Good.
The dirt that you made, the hole, the dirt, the loose dirt itself is not part of the earth.
Therefore
it's maybe Rashi will hold that you don't need Mekayim and Malacha, but it's will hold that you do need Mekayim.
Okay, that's a very interesting approach. I'm not going to go that way, but it's a very, very good analysis. Yeah. Good. Excellent. Good. So let's plug it in. So we came up with Hakira in our first part of tonight's shir as to the definition of Malachas Chorish. And now we're going to start using our Hakira. Shita's Rashi was that Malachas Chorish is a reboy karka, softening the ground as actual Zriya to facilitate planting. And the Rambam Shita was that Malachas Chorish is about Tikkun Hasad, improving the ground. So let's now plug in that Hakira into this issue that we have right now. We have a scenario where we have loose dirt. You dig it out, and the hole remains in place. Should that be Malachas Chorish? Should not be Malachas Chorish? So let's work backwards. Let's start with the Shita of the Rambam. Rambam holds that the Malachas Chorish is any act that's Tikkun Hasad that improves the ground. In this situation, when you dig out this hole, this loose dirt, is that going to be Mekayim's definition? Should that be a violation of Malachas Chorish? Yes. Yeah. It should. You're we're obviously, by definition, we're always talking about beneficial situations. If it's mechanical, that there's nothing to talk about. We're talking about a case where the whole is productive. If you produced a productive whole, barring penny svara, which is an interesting svara, but without penny svara, you just made you improved the ground. There's no reason why there should not be meleches choresh. Who cares if the dirt was loose? The maaseh, I dug out a hole. I made a productive hole in my ground. Why should that not be meleches choresh? So,
but improvement in what realm? Like,
improvement, improving the land outside.
Wouldn't be improving for the sake of planting. Like,
in the Rambam, and
I know he doesn't say that.
Furthermore, a hole is good for planting. A hole is good for planting. I mean, that's
right.
So let's just to plug it in, according to the Rambam Shita, there really should be no reason why this would not be Meleches Choresh. So that would be a viable way of explaining Shita's Tosfos. I'm not saying he has to like the Rambam, but that certainly would be a very glot way of explaining Shita's Rambam, that if you say that Meleches Choresh is about fixing up the ground and improving the earth, you're creating a beneficial hole. We're always talking about beneficial holes, otherwise nothing to talk about. So, okay, you dug out some loose dirt, but Lamaisi made a hole, that should be Meleches Choresh. On the other hand, moving over to Shita's Rashi, Rashi held the Meleches Choresh was ripui kark. He held it was specifically softening the ground. So here, this is where Pnei Yeshua steps in and says what Dr. E just said. Pnei Yeshua and Beitza spells out that if we say that Meleches Choresh is about softening the ground, well, you're not softening anything when it's loose. If it's loose dirt, it's already soft. You didn't soften the ground at all. You did extract it. You did create a hole, but you didn't actually loosen any ground. And so therefore, Rashi is Lashitaso. Pnei Yeshua explains, Rashi be Lashitaso. Rashi holds the Meleches Choresh is about softening the ground. And in this case, he didn't soften anything. It was already softened. And that's why Rashi holds that this would not be Meleches Choresh. So that's our analysis of this Machlokas. And that concludes possible qualification number one. We have this Machlokas once again about digging into loose dirt. And we remind Rashi, Rashi Lashitaso.
Why wouldn't it also be Bona?
So that is just a rule of thumb, that bone is indoors and Choresh for the most part is outdoors. Bone is about, houses or et cetera.
According to the Rambam, why isn't digging into very loose sand considered Choresh? Because
why isn't
if you do it one time, it collapses immediately. You do it 100 times.
No, and Achanami, that has to do with the Tzuris HaMalacha, that according to, when it caves in immediately, you didn't create a hole. It's not called creating a hole.
Well, if you do it 100 times, you have a hole. So if you did something, it might not be very much, but Choresh doesn't have a shear.
When we're talking when it caves in and the hole, you're saying like there's a little bit of a hole. On a basic level, when it caves in, there's no tzuris.
The rigorous experiments that we've done at the beach at the age of 5 shows that if you do it 100 times.
Okay, I don't know.
According to Rashi, would this be a total Choresh or slowly the egg? Because by the case, let's say where you're with the egg, there's no zuria there.
Okay, so that actually should know that Achron Mas, that's a kasha on Rashi. That's a kasha on Rashi.
It could be a toga.
Well, Pasha Kuntar Rashi, everything has to do with planting, and they ask on Rashi then the egg case, like, where's the plant,
the chicken.
Okay, fine. It's a good question, though. It's a very good question. Yeah. 21st finger? Aaron?
What's the enhancement by making
a hole?
By making a hole, meaning
outside?
Yeah, we're discussing within soft dirt.
Mm-hmm.
So it just conceptually, it's very tough that realistically there would be a hole that's a solid hole that's made from soft dirt. Normally, if the
you're absolutely correct.
If the soft
soil
is inside of this, then the leftover space which makes up the hole is also unstable.
Right, you're absolutely correct. That's the case.
Therefore, according to the Rambam, it would just be right exposing the soil, and that exposure of this now hole.
You're 100% correct. I mean, the case is where you have a pocket of soft dirt surrounded by a harder dirt
pocket.
You extract it, and you're exposing the hole. You're making the hole. And
one thing would be then with Rashi. Rashi's saying it's aiding Zriya.
Mm-hmm.
So again, do they explicitly say that the outer part, the hole, is solid, or is it also unstable?
Yeah, it's solid. It's solid. Tosis spells out. It's intact. It's intact.
Because that would then make sense with Rashi that if the outside of it.
I just want to keep going because there's not so much time left. I apologize. Right. Maybe we'll just move a little more. Yeah, no, I hear. There's only a few minutes left. I want to try to finish on time. So moving over to, okay, Yaakov?
Okay.
Moving over to the possible qualification number two. The Minchas Chinuch, in the Mosach HaShabbos, he has, whenever we quote the Minchas Chinuch, it's going to be in the Mosach HaShabbos, in the Mitzvah Lamed Beis, he has a very long treatise on all the Malachos, and we quote that quite often. In the Mosach HaShabbos, under Malachas Choresh, in Os Dalet, he poses the following Shiloh, which is another possible limitation to Malachas Choresh. The question becomes, we've been discussing Malachas Choresh in the typical setting where you're digging outside. The question is, as he poses, what if you have dirt in a jar? Let's say you have dirt in a jar. He calls it an atzach eino nakov, a non-perforated pot. Or we'll just call it a pot or a kli. You have dirt in a utensil. Can you dig in that on Shabbos? If you have a dirt in a kli, can you dig in that on Shabbos? Would that be a violation of Malachas Choresh? That's the shayla that he poses. He says there's no clear-cut resolution in the Shas and the Rishonim. There's no clear-cut resolution to this issue. He quotes some Achronim, there's a Magen Avos that analyzes this a little bit. He says the Chai Adam totally omitted it, and we don't really get left off with much satisfaction on this issue. But he's definitely being Ma'orah an issue. The question becomes, does Malachas Choresh apply to dirt that's in a jar? So the question is, how do we touch up the Shaila of the Minchas Chinuch? What's the Hesber in the Shaila? So that seems to be a good analysis. That it would seem to be dependent, once again, on our Chakira. So let's go through the two Tzadim, the Chakira. Rashi held that the essence of Malachas Choresh is to facilitate planting. That the Atzmias of the Malachas is any activity that facilitates planting. If you define Malachas Choresh in that manner, so then it should follow that any time you do any digging that could potentially facilitate planting is going to fit under this Malacha. So just like digging outside facilitates planting, so too, digging in a jar. You could plant in a jar. That facilitates planting. That's better for planting. That should be a violation of Malachas Choresh. If you agree, that would be a very broad analysis of Shitas Rashi. On the other hand, if you go with the Shita of the Rambam held that Malachas Choresh has nothing to do with planting. It has to do with Tikkun HaSadah, just fixing the land. If we're focused on the land, we're not focused on planting, so then we have no right to carry that over to a jar. The jar is not karka, the jar is metaltalin, it's true that there's dirt in the jar, but the malacha has nothing to do with just digging. The malacha is about fixing and working the land, and if it's about working the land, then the malacha really should not apply in a jar. So that would seem to be the hesber in the shayla of the Minchas Chinuch. So that is the second possible qualification to Malachas Choresh, the shayla Minchas Chinuch. Does the malacha apply to digging in a jar? He leaves off without any clear-cut resolution, and it seems to be totally on our Chakira.
That's an assumption the Rambam doesn't state. He never says that it has to be karka and not metaltalin, does he?
He talks about yipai karka. That's the word.
But everyone's talking about karka, but karka in this case refers to
the
Rambam
is codifying. He's codifying, and the codification says yipai karka. He says karka.
It's
Gemara's term.
Yeah,
but the Rambam is codifying. The Rambam Gemara's a lot of terms and a lot of examples and many examples all over the place.
What else could he say? I'm saying that's the word used for ground.
He could have said in Echanami. We're saying that in the Rambam it should come out that it doesn't apply to a jar. If it would apply, he should have extended it.
You have a jar with dirt, it should apply.
Especially for the Rambam.
You have a flower pot.
Especially
when
the Rambam
was
speaking.
All right, they don't like our
husband.
Yeah.
Plus, you have to ask them why they're
missing
the finger. This is very straightforward.
Okay, so that's a kasha on a Talmudic methodology. I'm fine. Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Let's move over now to qualification number three. The third qualification comes from a Mishnah in Beitza on Chaf Gimel on Beis. The second Mishnah in Beitza on Chaf Gimel on Beis brings up the following halacha. Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah tells us that it's perfectly permissible to drag a wagon on dirt on Shabbos. Permissible to drag a wagon on dirt on Shabbos. The question is, what's the pshat? When you drag a wagon on dirt, you're going to be creating furrows in the ground. And furrows or ditches or haritzim, that should be a violation of Malachas Choresh. The question is, why is this permissible? So Rabbi Huda does not leave us hanging. He explains why he's matter this. He says the reason that this is mutter is because in this case, the ditches are coming about through kvisha, through pressing down into the ground. Malachas Choresh apparently only applies when you dislodge or displace the earth. When you dig up and displace the earth, that's Malachas Choresh. But if you press down into the ground, that is not Malachas Choresh. When you drag a wagon across the ground, since you're pressing down, you're depressing the earth, that is not a violation of Malachas Choresh. So that is our third qualification to Malachas Choresh, that Kavisha, pressing down into the ground, is permissible. Now there is a dissenting opinion in that Mishnah, but if you learn the Gemara with Rashi, we see that the dissenting opinion only argues based on a technicality that we don't paskin like. It's based on a shita of Rabbi Yehuda by Dovrish and Biskavin. We don't paskin like that. And so therefore it's clear that from the Mishnah that in terms of this underlying exception to the rule, everyone subscribes to it. Malachas Choresh does not apply when you press down in the ground. Now, due to time constraints, I'm not going to explain that. We're not going to analyze this conceptually, but I will advise people to look at the Ha'aris, the Rav Eliashiv, on Beitza there, where he plugs in once again. Our Chakira is going to explain where exactly, what's the nature of this heter, why is there this heter of Kavisha. You have to plug in our Chakira to figure it out. But what I want to do right now is I want to quickly sum up and just quickly get to the Halacha Maisa. So just to sum up, tonight's shir, we had two basic parts to tonight's shir. In part one, we crunched the definition of Malachas Choresh. We achieved this Rashi that it's about ripoy karka, there's a hekshel, is re-softening the ground to facilitate planting. Rambam was tikkun hasad, improving the earth. We had the application there to the Charish HaShnia, is that novel, or is it not novel? Barring Ari's arguments with me, in a good way. And then part two, we had our three qualifications to Malachas Choresh. Qualification number one was digging to loose dirt. We had our Machlokas Rashi versus Tosfos, how far the qualification goes. We were mazber that based on our Chakira. Qualification number two was the Shaila Minchas Chinuch about the Otzit She'in Anakov. If you have a jar of dirt, is that Malachas Choresh or is not? Which we pointed out, it's, you know, at least the starting point is to analyze it based on our Chakira. And qualification number three, which is uncontested, is Kvisha, that it's Mutter on Shabbos to, if you drag a wagon or anything that depresses the earth, is permissible on Shabbos. Now, I just want to quickly spend the next 2-3 minutes going over the Halacha L'maisa. Just as a quick disclaimer, I'm not here to paskin, I don't want to take the advice of paskining, but when I say Halacha L'maisa, I'm just going to present what the poskim say about what we learned so everyone can be informed. So just to quickly spell it out, starting with the Mishnah Brura in Shin Lamed Zayin. The Mishnah Brura in Shin Lamed Zayin in Hakdama there spells out that Malachas Choresh, Kafi his psak, and I think this is subscribed to, applies both to ripoy and yipoy karka. He says that any act of improving the ground is included under Malachas Choresh, even yipoy karka, even if you're not softening. Though, he does say that it only applies if it's a hekshel Isriya. So that's a new shita that we didn't analyze. The Mishnah Brura paskins, I think this is subscribed to Lahalacha, that it only applies in areas where it's fit for planting. If you'd have an area of earth that cannot be planted, then the Mishnah Brura says there would be no issue at all of digging into that ground. That's in terms of the definition of Choresh, it's a yipoy karka, but only if it's can help facilitate planting. In terms of qualification number one about the loose dirt, so the Mishnah Brura in Tov Tzadi Ches, in Or HaChaim, in Tov Tzadi Ches, if called Tzadi Aleph, paskins like Tosfos, we paskin like Tosfos, that it's only much to dig into loose dirt if the walls are going to cave in immediately. So that's in terms of that issue, we paskin like Tosfos. In terms of the second issue, the Shaila of the Minchas Chinuch, about digging in a jar, the Mishnah Brura, that same exact Mishnah Brura, says that it's also to dig in a jar, that any act of digging is also on Shabbos, even if it's in a jar. And in terms of the Heter of Kavisha, the third qualification about pressing down the earth, that was not contested, so we do hold of that. If you want to marmalkum, the Kaif al-Chaim in Shilam and Zayin and Sifkat and Dalet, brings down the Heter of Kavisha, that it's mutter to press down on the ground on Shabbos. So just to point out two contemporary issues that come out of this whole analysis. The first one would be sandboxes. So is it mutter to have for children to play in a sandbox on Shabbos? Now, sand could typically be muksa, but a sandbox, you know, it's set aside to play in, so that's not going to be a muksa. The question is there any issue of Choresh digging in a sandbox on Shabbos? What's the issue going to depend on? How soft the sand is. You have to test it before Shabbos. If the holes are going to cave in immediately, barring Ben's 105-year-old trying 100 times, but if the holes are going to dig in immediately, then it's going to be a mutter, but if the holes are going to remain intact, then it's going to be an aser. And then the next contemporary issue would become, what about a wheelchair or strollers? Can you push a wheelchair or a stroller on dirt on Shabbos? Is that mutter or is that aser?
Yeah.
Why is it mutter?
Pressing down.
Because it's kovesh. That's right. So that would be mutter. Kaf HaChaim, which I quoted, calls out that that's mutter on Shabbos because of the heter of kovesh. Okay, so we finished Malchus Chorosh. I think we did a pretty good job. So in 2 weeks, we'll be up to Zareh. Shkai.